So we're discussing one the carefulness one has to have when it comes to different items of food, and especially here, there's an interesting thing. I don't think you see this today, where you have, they used to make these fruit preserves, and they would place the fruits in a container, then they would cover it, tying the mouth of the container with the womb of an animal. I don't think you've seen this in your life. What's the question? The question really is that the womb that they're being used as a cover, when it's in the oven, it's going to get heated up. And if it's a womb from a non-kosher animal, so the vapor and the taste that's coming from this animal is going to, from the womb, is going to actually make these fruits forbidden. And so that's why there's two things. It has to be kosher and also has to be salted. So although we may not have something similar to this, but there are similar cases. This is one of the reasons why, the person would say, if you use, let's say, a cover of a pot, of a milchik pot for a fleshik pot, that you're cooking something, there's a concern that the taste is going to go into that, is going to emerge, the milky taste is going to emerge from the cover and go into the fleshik pot, unless it wasn't used for 24 hours. Now we're going to enter into the whole world of what's called toiloim. And this is a very complicated shaila, because today things are very different than what the Kitzurot is going to be describing. On the other hand, there's some basic halachas that we need to know, really based on the drashas of Chazal. And although it might even seem different to us from a reality perspective, but these are based on drashas of Chazal. So I would say like this. First of all, there's amazing websites, kashrus organizations that give much more guidance when you have a question about how to clean vegetables and fruits, whether it's berries, whether it's cauliflower. And so it's good for sure to check out the CRC, the OU, and the Chavke, etc. However, we're going to go through some of the fascinating halachas that the Kitzur discusses and get certainly an insight into some of the basic halachas. So first of all, we discuss well springs and rivers. There's something very interesting that, and even today, and not so long ago, and every so often, especially I think in Manhattan, there's certain areas where there's a concern that the waters have bugs. And certainly everyone agrees, and this is where the Aruch HaShulchan discusses, if it's the type of bugs that you need to see only, you can only see through a microscope, halachic is not a problem. In fact, the Aruch HaShulchan already says that everything, even the air that we breathe has some bacteria that we're swallowing. Elamai, of course, has to be clear, there has to be something that your eyes could see. The whole controversy is when you could see, but only with a trained eye. So that's why there's filters and many things are, I would say, Yirei Shamayim, it's a beautiful thing, but there's a lot to rely on someone that doesn't have it, as we're going to see. So one of the interesting distinctions is if you have flowing water, there's a concern of bugs. If it's a standing water, like cistern water, based on Chazal, even if there's worms that are developed in the actual water, halachically, it's not forbidden. However, it gets more complicated because if it's, what happens is if it emerges from the water and then comes back, it's a problem. Or if you sift it through a sifter of some sort and it gets on the sift and comes back, it's a problem. So that's why best is not to have any bugs that you're going to see in the water. But as we're going to see, this is what the kids are discussing, some of these interesting halachas. So when it comes to these rivers, for sure you have to strain them. Okay, that's because, again, assuming that there's bugs in these waters that a person has. Echach Masadim already actually discusses also this whole idea, and it's important also to know that once that water is forbidden to drink, you can't use it to soak meat, etc., because it gets stuck in the food. Now, when it comes to straining the water, you have to be careful, like I said, about the using a cloth. So we teach, and if you look on the websites, they'll teach you to use all these different types of cloth. It has to be a good cloth, because otherwise it could actually sometimes make it more complicated. Why would it make it more complicated and even worse? So interesting is because if it's not really so fine and some bugs could go through, those bugs may have not been usser. Meaning some of these worms, for example, may have not been usser, not forbidden, like we explained, because they actually were developed in the water itself. Or, for example, the next example that the Kitzur gives is chemetz. Chemetz is vinegar. Vinegar that develops worms is actually not forbidden. So it actually gets worse when it gets strained. That's what we pointed out. Now, so that's why the Kitzur says you have to either, there's a few things. The choices are, you really have a very good fine strainer. Another way of actually doing it is to actually boil up first the vinegar and then sift it. Now, the reason is because then any of the worms basically get killed by the boiling process. Now, I think what's much more common for us is fruits and vegetables. So, like I said, today you have a list. First of all, Moshe already writes today, a lot of the, because of the infesticide and all the different sprays, which probably are very toxic and unhealthy. But on the other hand, at least they solved a lot of the problems of bugs. Now, really, there's two schools of thought. This could be a very long shiur about the schools of thought of how to look at bugs, b'zman hazeh. And if the person is actually careful, you definitely something beautiful. And if someone is more lenient, there's also room to be lenient, either because of the fact that there's a chazakah. That means there's already presumption that most of the vegetables and the fruits are clean, or that really it can't be seen by the regular eye. But the kitzur says the following. If you know that there's bugs in fruits, and here's an interesting distinction. If it's fruits that attach to the tree, it's considered like it's on the ground, and therefore those bugs are actually forbidden. Oddly enough, if it's a detached fruit and in the fruit it developed a type of worm, it's actually not forbidden. That worm is deliciously mutter. However, once that worm moves off to a different spot, that's when it becomes complicated. So that's why really certain fruits you have to wash off simply because of the fact that even though those worms may have been once permitted, however, once you had to, they emerge in another place. So now that it's on the surface, you're gonna have to wash them off. So that's where it gets more complicated. Interesting, also the kitzur points out that if you have this black dot, and you sometimes see these on certain fruits and vegetables, but this black dot is really representing already a real a worm that has started to take form, and therefore a person has to remove it, and really cutting all the way into the full depth. To be able to remove the entire dot. That's what the kids, Moshe actually has a tshuva, if I'm not mistaken, if that really applies to today's black dots that sometimes you see on oranges, etc. Another interesting point that the kitzur teaches us, it's obviously based on Chazal, is that if you have a fruit, and like we said, any bugs that are on the fruits, so those bugs are going to be aser. However, if it's detached, we said it's going to be mut if it developed in the fruit itself. But what if it came from when it was connected? So the halacha is that after 12 months, it would also be permitted. Why is that? Chazal said an interesting concept. Any bria, that means any creature that has no bones, like as worms, cannot survive for 12 months. So therefore, it becomes like afro ba'alma, meaning it's like earth. Again, I don't know how so common that this question is going to be for most people. Perhaps maybe with dry fruits, but even dry fruits today, you still. Should check because it's not so simple that this is going to be again this case and that the bugs came only were there for 12 months. Could be that they came afterwards, so that's why there's a whole concern. And it's kedai always to open up at least three of them. And that's interesting that the concept of chazak also the kitzur doesn't seem to rely on, but that's only because usually he's talking about infested types of fruits. Now, even the kitzur himself already points out that it's not so simple. And you should rely on this. He gives a whole procedure how to rely on the 12 months and also using another method of putting it in first into cold water, mixing it, making sure that that you're sifting it and putting it in boiling water. Complicated procedure. And like I said, it's only after 12 months, so probably not so nagea to most of us. Now, each fruit, that's what the kids have said, especially when it comes to something, fruits that we know are infested, you have to check each one. And remove also the seed. Many times you have these pits, and in order to check properly a fruit, you need to remove the pits. I think that certainly applies, especially when you have today like these delicious dates. Even though I think most dates are becheskas that they are clean of worms, but chatchila is a nice thing to do. And the kids is talking about in his days where it was much more infested, and that's why the kids doesn't want to rely on roiv either. Now, similarly, when it comes to flour, so it's interesting, even in the kashrus organizations, and also they're much more machmir, they're much more careful. In America, the less people are less busy with sifting. Certainly, if you didn't sift, it's not machmir at all. But you see, in his time, certainly in the kitzur's time, so he had these large worms that were discovered in flour and the like. And therefore, in order to remove it, you'd have to use a sifter, a sieve. And he even discussed, the kids discussed also these mites that were discovered. So therefore, if the mites are smaller, obviously, than the holes of the sifter, then that's not going to work. So in such cases, you have to ask a shayla how exactly to do it. Why? Because if it's not really a chazaka that they really infested, so then you could really rely on the fact that you're crushing them and grinding them, and it's And the only time that worms are really going to be not batel is when they're whole. So that's why also an interesting distinction of when and how much of infestation there is. The Kitzur also teaches us that something that actually is developed with worms, and it's an item that you basically we can't eat, so it's a problem to give it back to a non-Jew if you know he's going to sell it. However, you can make schnapps. Yain Sarif, you can make, because again, it's not being actual, the whiskey that you made is not really, has no problems of using this flour. So if you know that that's what he's making from it, it's okay. You could sell it to him. And the kitzur says, like I said, many vegetables that are muhsak. You know that there's worms, some have what's called milben. We said these mites, and women have these tricks of scorching them on fire. You have to know that. So he's already telling you that doesn't really do anything. It doesn't get rid of them. You have to know what works. Like I said today, you look up on the different websites. They'll tell you what works much better than the things that we may have been grew up with. Especially today, you have even different types of soap liquids that are actually very, very effective. When it comes to, and lastly, when it comes to walnuts, so I don't think this is true today. The egoism that the kids are speaking about, he says, it's very common to have a presence of infestation. Now today, Baruch Hashem, much less, but it's good to look, especially sometimes you'll be in the beginning development of something. So it's good to check. And kids actually gives a way of checking when it comes to these walnuts. So if you basically strike the shell against something that's warm, so the mites will that might have remained in the shell will emerge. So that's a nice trick. You could try it, but like I said, today there's other methods to make sure that these things are clean. Have a beautiful day.